that. Sorry about that. I forgot to start the recording on time. So let's go ahead and do the roll one more time. I think it's Glenn DeSantieri, Olaf Nordling, and Patrick Jones from ICANN staff, Sophia Beckele from NOMCOM, Greg Roots from the ISPs, Jeff Eckhouse and Paul Diaz from the Registrars, Christina Rosette from the IPC, Jeff Newman from the Registries, and myself from the Business Constituency. And we've all had a little bit of discussion on the list. I've sent around some information. I'd like to save, you know, going through the text of the questions for the end. I'd really personally would like to see most of that discussion happen on the list so that it's open to everybody. But I did want to talk in some detail with this group about going out. Well, we'll have room to talk about the questions, but I want to talk about other means of getting information that might be pertinent so that we can start, you know, as the sort of leadership group on this to figure out how we're going to approach those sources and get the info that we think we need.
Well, Mike, this is Jeff. You brought up there's been a lot of discussion on the list in last day on the press release from the CADNA group. Can we get the background for their statistics? I mean, I think they cited a few. It would be great to have that information circulated to the group.
Absolutely. I'm pretty certain that we will get that. Phil Ladico from CADNA, his company is also a BC member, and he's volunteered to assist me in this group. I do know that a lot of those numbers came from the Mark Monitor brand jacking report. But, you know, the answer to your question, Jeff, is absolutely. We'll get the information behind a press release.
Yeah, and if it came from Mark Monitor, then maybe we can ask Mark Monitor where they got it. You know, just follow the trail down and how they got that information.
Yep. Are you specifically talking about the $100 million to $125 million per year figure that they use?
You know, I'm personally not concerned. I'm actually enjoying watching the discussions back and forth. So I wouldn't say I'm concerned about it.
Are you asking about?
Yeah. But I'm asking about any kind of stats that are cited, and even Jay Westerdahl has posted a stat on the monetary amount that someone's making. I want to know where he gets that stat. You know, any stats, people are good with stats and that they like to mention them, but it would be really helpful for us to find out where they get them from and how they got them.
Right, and for me, I completely agree, and certainly with regard to how they got them. I mean, Jay had posted something to the effect of, well, I just used their numbers. Well, you know, that's great, but for people who are math impaired, such as myself, you know, to walk us through the statistical analysis, I think, is helpful. And in terms of data, I don't know, I mean, to what extent do you all want information from kind of anecdotal information? I guess maybe that's a question that we should talk about.
I mean, the one thing that's kind of easy to obtain, it's easy to get data from a registry on the number of deletes within the ad grace period.
Right.
It's pretty factual. The hard thing to get, and I'm not sure what other stats people want to see from registries, if there are any relevant. If you could think of any, let me know. But there's no way, by the way, there's no way for us to really tell which of those are ones that are legitimately doing it because of, I shouldn't use such loaded terms. There's no way to tell those that are using it because of a, mistyped name or credit card fraud or anything like that versus how many are using it for tasting. What we could do, though, is provide, maybe I'll just speak of Neustar, but we could certainly provide, and you've seen it from Verify too, we could provide you what the deletes were a month back and then what happened at a certain period of time.
And Jeff, does Neustar collect all of that data on a registrar basis? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
You say you can tell other information. What sorts of information after a certain amount of time? Whether the domain was re-added, that sort of thing?
Oh, no, I was kind of... That might be possible, but I was talking more about, you know, up until X month of 2006, the average rate of deletes was, or the average number of deletes or percentage of deletes was X percent, and then all of a sudden, you know, it went up to, you know, I just looked at something, for example, for .us, and, you know, at one point in time it was a low percentage, and then all of a sudden at some months it went up, it shot up by a large amount. And one could probably attribute that to registrars starting to do tasting.
Right. I'm not sure that information is all that helpful to show when it started. I think it's useful to some extent, but
it's useful in the sense that we could probably show that a certain number of percentage of deletes is normal, or is for people that actually use it to delete a mistype or a credit card fraud checking type thing. You know, for those that don't want to get rid of the ad grace period completely, you could show what percentage you believe is attributable to the intended use of the AGP versus what percentage is probably tasting.
That's true. It does. It could provide baseline info like that. It also, I think it's maybe more useful for us is it could help us identify who the specific registrars are that are engaged in this, so that we could do outreach to them and make sure we get their input into this process.
This question is probably going to reveal some ignorance, but to what extent is it possible and relevant to try and figure out as to overall what the breakdown is between accredited registrars and non-accredited registrars?
I'm not sure I follow that. What do you mean non-accredited?
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, to what extent, and Jeff, I don't know to what extent Neustar, you know, allows non-accredited registrars to you know, register the domain names that it's the registry for. But I'm just wondering whether there's any reason to think or even to look at whether or not you've got a bigger problem with non-accredited registrars doing it than with accredited registrars.
Well, the only people that are allowed to register names are accredited registrars. We're not allowed to have non-accredited registrars.
Okay, so the non-accredited registrars is coming in on the resale level then.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they're resellers, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
So you'd have to go individually to the registrars that have the reseller model and see if they'll turn over statistics to you on what some of their resellers do.
All right. Okay. I think that's what's always confused me is that people use non-accredited when they really mean reseller. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jeff, I'm hearing that you are willing to at least seek that information from Neustar. Would you also do the outreach to the rest of the registry constituency and see if they'll provide the same sort of information?
So the information you're seeking is number of deletes by registrar and what it's been like over time.
Yep.
And just the data. Now I gotta do a little bit of research as to see what kind of confidentiality obligations. I can't remember what I can post and what they don't post, so I gotta look at that. I don't know if they post it by registrar. I thought they did, but
I think they do.
If they do, it shouldn't be an issue.
I've definitely seen per registrar numbers on this issue, so.
So yeah, I mean, and again, it's not really Neustar that's, I mean, we could do it, but again, it's, you know, it's just Neustar.
Right. No, I understand. And just so the group knows, I did try to follow up with Chuck Gomes on the VeriSign info, that information or that section of the report that mentions that VeriSign is working with staff. And Chuck says he wasn't privy to any of those discussions so far, but he was going to look into it and try to get back to me. So,
Mike, this is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, those discussions have occurred with Pat Kane, and Pat right now is in Hong Kong for the ICANN Registrar Regional Gathering, along with maybe a few others. So as soon as I get a chance to follow up with Pat, I'll know more.
Great. Thanks, Patrick. Okay. Well, I'm hopeful, Jeff, that we can get some of that information from the registries, obviously including VeriSign. Then that will lead us to some of the key registrars that we want to approach and try to get involved in this, or at least see if they will provide information or not. The other major players seem to be the registrants, tasters themselves. That's going to be a little bit harder one. Other than doing outreach through the constituencies and as planned through the ICANN website and all, I'm not sure what more we can do to specifically kind of target the main domain taster registrants out there.
Well, we could contact Phil, what's his name, from the Internet Commerce Association.
Definitely, that's a good idea.
Corwin.
Phil Corwin. Okay.
This is Chopin. I don't know that Phil would necessarily know who they are. I think he's kind of aligned with removing the practice.
But I guess he might even just be a gateway as well as an information source. In other words, he might be willing to distribute or make his members aware of the request for information, and he may also know to the extent that there are kind of contact or primary people within that market segment who would be good people to reach out to.
That makes sense.
This is Patrick again, and with all respect, I think, you know, Jonathan and some of the other registrars probably have a better handle on that community than he does. And it's just my own opinion.
I suspect you're right about that. Although I'm not sure that they would share that information. But I don't know, Jonathan, Jeff, anybody, would you guys be willing to, even if you don't share the names with us, do outreach to those folks and try to ask them to participate?
Yeah, this is Jeff here. I'd say it wouldn't hurt. We could put something out there. The chances of responses are pretty slim, but
mm-hmm.
You know, I know that we don't have any of our customers are tasters, so it wouldn't be to our customers, but it might be worth just putting the word out there and see who responds. You know, if you could offer some sort of, I won't even say the word amnesty because they didn't do anything wrong, but anonymous responses or something like that, people might be more inclined to respond, but it's going to be a tough road to get those people to respond.
You know, I concur with Jeff. I think if there's some form of anonymity to contribution, I think there are people out there who really do want to participate productively in making some progress here.
Well, the point is to get them involved as best we can. I don't know that we can really, you know, promise anonymity.
Yeah.
At least to the extent their information is actually used in the process. I mean,
well,
they can be anonymous to a certain point, but if we're going to use their information in a report or whatever, I think they need to be identified.
Oh, Ross, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Would you mind touching base with Liz to see? I seem to recall that this issue came up with the Pro mm-hmm. Working Group questionnaire, and I want to say that we dealt with it by saying that the identifying information needed to be provided when completing out the form, when providing the information, primarily for correlation purposes and verification, but the ultimate data that was released was anonymous. And if that's right and that's something that we could do here, that might be worth doing.
Was that in conjunction with, I know you utilized what it's called, a big pulse.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that was actually a question from me, whether I'm not familiar with it more than that. I know that it's been used, and whether that would be an additional avenue for getting input.
Well, no. I'm just talking about generally. The idea was that the input, when people provided their input, they had to identify who they were, and the purpose of that was really just for validation or verification purposes, but that the aggregate information, for example, when it was discussed in the working group report, was essentially anonymous. It didn't identify, you know, these 12 brand holders said blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So
if that's in fact
what we did and we can do that here, I think we should.
Rather common, but I'll touch base with Liz on that, yeah.
Okay. So on the registrants themselves, then, there's the issue about anonymity. Olaf will do a little work on that. And otherwise, I think we plan on just trying to get their input through the RFI and ideally have some folks like Dauphin or others who might be closer to that community try to specifically reach out to folks they know are engaged in this stuff and ask them to at least complete the RFI.
Just to go back a step, I'm looking at the COM report from March, and you can pretty much tell which registrars are the ones that are tasting. Spot domains is one of them, nameking.com. I mean, these are people with, 8 million or 3 million or 4 million deletes in a month.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not very difficult to, name.com, name.net, they're probably related, nameking.com, spot domains, name perfections. These are all that have, well over 1.5 million deletes a month in COM.
Great. So I think we just need to make an effort through the registrars to specifically get some of those tasting registrars to at least respond to the RFI. And on all these groups, I'm wondering if there's additional sources of information that we want to try to get specifically.
Mike, this is Jeff Eckhouse here. Just one suggestion is if you guys already have an idea of certain registrars you want to speak to, you might want to have ICANN staff, maybe Tim and his office as the registrar liaison, reach out to those people that you want to specifically versus anyone else in this group since they have relationships with those registrars already.
That makes sense to me. Definitely. Okay. But the next step there is really to get all of the registry data. Well, I guess it's all already public, right? Is it posted on the ICANN site somewhere, Jeff?
Yeah,
I've seen Common Net, but I haven't seen any of the other.
Yeah, they're all there. The problem is that VeriSign doesn't break down its gross deletes by category. So you just kind of have to assume.
Well, like domain, there's a company called Domain Domain LLC. In the month of March, they had 11,192,687 gross deletes. You can pretty much extrapolate that. They're one of those. They're a domain taster, registrar. Right? It's
domain doorman. Is that it, or is it typo? Domain doorman.
Domain doorman. There you go. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. I wonder how I know them.
Yeah. So I mean, there's they have stats up until March on there, and then there's Capital Domains.
Mm-hmm.
That's got 11.2 million.
Right, and if Capital's there, then Moniker's there.
Belgium Domains.
Belgium Domains.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty easy to tell by looking.
Okay, so I guess the next question is, other than the RFI information that's sort of going to go out to the entire community, do we want to either design specific questionnaires for specific constituencies? So I don't think necessarily makes a lot of sense, especially for the registrars, for example, because they're kind of all over the place on this issue. Or do we want to try to just ask specific questions or get specific sources of information from, these different sorts of groups? In other words, from the domain tasting registrars rather than from all the registrars.
Can you repeat that question? I'm sorry, the last one?
Yeah, that was...
Well, I rambled a little bit there. I want to know what the group thinks about asking for certain information from just a subset of the registrars, or the tasting registrars, or whether the same questions would really effectively need to be asked of the entire registrar constituency.
Well,
in other words, would the tasters feel they're being singled out, or is there some way we could work around that?
Well, I would just say you'd have to ask all the registrars, because some of these questions and some of the some of the effects or changes that people are even considering are going to affect all registrars, and those are, I mean, some of your the questions that are in the list of questions would have impact on all registrars. So I think we would all want to respond and to have our voices heard on, you know, how these changes would or potential changes would affect our businesses.
Yeah, and no question, the RFI is going to go out to everybody, to the entire world. I'm just thinking that there's other specific information we might want from the tasting registrars, for example, if they're willing to share it, or at least ask them for it, that maybe we don't need from all the other registrars. And what I'm thinking about there is perhaps they can identify the number of tasting registrations that were due to credit card chargebacks or that were due to typographical errors by their users, that sort of thing.
I think that's unlikely. I'm just speculating. I mean, you know, I know that
I think it's unlikely too, but I'm wondering if it's worth asking the questions anyway.
I mean, maybe to just do it in a very open-ended way. In other words, please provide any other information that you think needs to be taken into account when evaluating what, if any, policy should be made. And then you kind of leave it open for people to tell you a whole range of things that we may not be thinking of that they think is relevant. And if they choose not to, I mean, you've opened the door, and if they choose to not walk through it, then, you know, there's not much you can do.
Okay. I mean, we have sort of a broad question like that at the end of the draft right now. Do folks think it would be, I know it was suggested even by Kurt Pritz that we come up with a list of questions for the various constituencies. I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense again because, well, it may make sense, specifically for the registrars, even though they're all over the place on this issue. Still, to ask them all the same questions seems like it would be wise. I think that's the feedback we just got from Jeff. But then we need to focus on what those specific questions would be for each constituency. So the best way to probably do that is to go through the general questions, and as we're doing that, think through whether there are specific questions based on any of the general ones that maybe should go to specific constituencies. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the way to go, and to move in, since we've already spent half the call here talking generally about stuff and haven't gotten about you know what I consider key sources of information. Let's talk about the general RFI for a bit. I haven't seen any real discussion about the specific questions on the list yet, so maybe just open it up for anybody to give general comments on where they think they're at with this. Before we get into specific question-by-question discussions.
I think you did a good job of keeping it pretty objective, so I think that was good. Probably need a couple more days to look at it, but it seemed objective.
I was trying.
That's a tough thing to do, so I commend you on that.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's Alan Greenberg here. Sorry, I was on the phone till now.
Oh, good. Hey, Alan. So, okay, it sounds then that everybody is, I guess, generally satisfied with the direction of the RFI draft as it is right now. How about this? How about if I propose, does anybody have any additional questions or topics that they think should be covered in this RFI?
Mike, I can't put my hands on that. What was the date that you sent that around? I know I've read it, but I can't seem to find it.
Okay. 23rd of July.
Okay.
It came from the...
I got it at 2:25 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, thank you.
It was on the it was in the topic of agenda.
Ah, okay.
That's yeah, not drawn with. Okay, so obviously, you know, people may not have had a chance to fully digest this yet and thought about what additional topics. We can certainly leave that open for discussion on the list, but I'd like to resolve that we try to finish this up and have the questions basically done by, well, yeah, I would love to do it by the end of the week if people think that's reasonable, so that on the next call we can focus on the mechanics of getting it out and on other sources of information. And I'm hopeful that we might get the economist from ICANN staff or ICANN consultants economist on the next call.
Mike, it's Jeff back out here. I have just one addition, I guess, to the questions here, and it's, I think it would be on numbers 2 and 3, where you're asking, where it says, please explain how each benefits, please explain how each is harmed. If you could just add, I don't know if we can, but to quantify this, because you always start hearing people say, oh, these people were hurt, or these people, it's like, so, you know, it's who are these people, how many are there, is this, you know, is this real, because we start getting into these, you know, things, these, I guess, points about saying, you know, I'm not picking on anybody here, but saying, you know, all these registrants are hurt, or all these brand owners are hurt, and people can give specific examples or really specific numbers versus just generalizations, because I think we get into a bad thing where we're just targeting certain groups and certain people and just on generalizations, and if we had hard numbers, then it could, or at least close to hard numbers, then it could make, I guess, people's statements, I don't know, more impactful.
I definitely agree with what you just said there. It is open-ended and sort of, you know, an opportunity for people to do free text. So I think there's no way around that. I think that's actually useful in some cases. Of course, depending
on the
numbers.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying if people can quantify it, then to please add that number in versus it's very bad.
Yep.
It hurts a lot of people.
Yep. So I would propose to maybe say, instead of please explain how each benefits, leaving it that, say, please explain how each benefits and provide specific examples and statistics if possible.
Available. Yeah, exactly.
To the extent possible, quantify and provide examples.
Okay.
That's good verbiage. It'll help remove a lot of the cognitive distortion that's happening here, right, and get us more progress.
Do we?
This is Olof here. Could I just comment on that? Because as you might have seen, I sent out a little envelope, a brief introduction to the questions for posting purposes. And it can be highlighted more than I did in that one. I think I've used the phrase both qualitative and quantitative answers are invited. It can be highlighted to especially emphasize the quantitative aspect. And I would appreciate comments to that one as well, if you have got the time.
Do we?
Go ahead, Christina.
I'm sorry. Do we want to get and you know, I'll just say to advance, these are all kind of brand owner related questions because that's who I represent. But do we have a way? I mean, I'm just coming up right now in my head with a number of very brand owner specific questions that I think we may want to get answers to. For example, you know, how many names tasting your brand have you become aware of in the past year? Or similarly, you know, one of the issues in the trademark community is that because the 5-day period is so short, it's virtually impossible to prepare and file either a UDRP complaint or in the U.S., you know, an ACPA complaint. So do we want to get kind of general information from them as to how long it takes to prepare and file those? Do we want information from NAF and WIPO as to how long it takes them from the time that you send in your UDRP complaint to when they actually process it to the point where the freeze notification goes out to the registrar? I mean, is that useful information? I mean, I would think so, but you know, I'm biased.
Christina, it's Alan. I think that's useful information, but I'm not sure it belongs on the questionnaire.
Those
are targeted questions perhaps we should be,
okay,
we or staff should be gathering information on.
All right.
I do agree with Alan on that.
Okay.
I think it would be useful information, particularly the last piece you mentioned about the time it takes WIFO to process certain things, and NAF for that matter as well. I think it will go to show that essentially the remedies available to deal with this, the legal remedies available, are pretty illusory.
Certainly the things of how many times has your brand been, you know, whatevered in the last year is the kind of thing you can answer under how are you harmed,
right,
with examples and quantities.
All right, well, why don't I do this? I'll kind of noodle along with the IT constituency about kind of a list of questions that from our perspective we think might be helpful to ask brand owners, and once that's finalized, I'll post it to the list so everybody can, you know, comment and maybe refine, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. In fact, I think it's a good idea maybe for all of the constituencies to think about what specific questions and information they would like to add into the process from their members.
Well, or what's more, it may be appropriate for each of the constituencies to comment on the questionnaire and sort of suggest types of answers, not the specifics, but the types of information which would be useful from each constituency. And the questionnaire is rather open-ended.
That's right. Should we just leave it up to the constituency to do that when they circulate the RFIs?
I would think so. I don't think doing that is loading the deck, so to speak. I think it's or stacking the deck. I think that's a valid way to make sure people think of the kinds of things that we need, the kinds of data we need.
So the RFI, it should be, you know, on the ICANN website, right, as opposed to just sending it out individually to constituencies?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Not just the GMSO website, but the ICANN one?
Mm-hmm.
Then, I mean, yeah, you could talk to other, I don't know if it... You'd hope that, like, there are two magazines now that are developed just for domainers. I've seen them. It's how you could call those up and ask them if they would post something or print something. Jonathan, you might know other good sources to make sure that word gets out on this RFI, whether people respond or not.
I think there would be people keen to respond on this.
You would think, because I really think that there should be an intro that basically says that, look, you know, this could, you know, you need to respond because a policy could affect practice and, you know, could impact your business.
Yeah, the challenge is the general public, there's a lot of informational curve, even just within this group on this, you know, between kiting, pasting, all these other definitions, there's a lot of emotive press releases and things. So folks are very interested to do feedback, but sometimes their opinion or, you know, where they're coming from is really sculpted by some carefully crafted press releases or what information is disseminated to them. Perhaps if there was some sort of a fact sheet or something based upon what we know that somebody could see there and then comment on, might be more productive for this.
Hey, this is Patrick again, and one thing we need to keep in mind is while this RFI is going on, there's nothing to prevent a registry or a couple registries from proposing a new service through the new registry services process. You know, that's sort of floating in the background out there and it hasn't really been discussed, but it's definitely something that could happen. I'm not aware of anything right now, but it's something to keep in mind.
I think, you know, at least many of us on the call understand that could happen, Patrick. I don't think it's, you know, anything that we should really necessarily need to consider as part of this group, though. I mean, we're trying to do fact-finding. Would you agree with that?
No, my point is that we could do this RFI and spend a lot of time talking, and in the meantime, something could get proposed that, I don't want to say resolves everything, but addresses these issues that we're talking about right now.
So, Patrick, unless you know of something that we don't, that VeriSign's going to propose something, my guess is that VeriSign won't, and so the preponderance of the issues will remain regardless of whether a registry like PIR or Neustar or Afilias proposes something through the registry services, I have a feeling it'll still be, the majority will still be, will still exist.
Okay. Right. Also, we won't know the results of any, you know, of any of those proposed solutions for quite some time. I mean, I think 6 months probably, minimum at this point, assuming they put in a request, you know, tomorrow. And I also think that this work will go towards, you know, looking at creating rules for new TLDs as well.
Well, I'd concur with, I think the merit of what Patrick is saying is that, you know, during this time, while this is being developed, that you might actually have some extremely important quantitative information should a registry service come out, be approved, and be applied in practice to see what exactly does happen in these changes. Because a lot of what we're talking about here, I believe, is a change to, you know, some very well-baked-in business rules and things that will have a broad impact across the network.
Can we get, just following up on your point, do you think David would be amenable to releasing the PIR numbers? Because I know that he got up during San Juan and said, you know, since we implemented our, you know, restocking fee, we've seen a dramatic drop in it.
Well, he said they disappeared.
Right.
He said there were only two registrars that are doing it, and they stopped. But remember, at this point, there are far more fertile fields to work in.
No.
If PIR was raising a small barrier,
right.
We don't know to what extent the process would be changed if everyone raised the same barrier.
Right.
I mean, because they were just, you know, small pickings, so to speak.
Right.
And, you know, why do something annoying when there's much more lucrative things to do? So their example, I don't think, really proves a lot in terms of general process.
And I think the work of this group is to get broader input as to the scope of the problem and potential remedies than any individual registries might come up with themselves and propose through the funnel.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, the hope here would be that any meaningful information or any practical data that might come from a registry service that gets implemented should be taken into account and as part of all of this process.
What's more, we can take credit for part of it because we've been stirring up the water.
Well, I mean, I think, Jonathan, there's no question that information will be desired and hopefully can be input into the process in a timely way. Like I said, I think that before that information is really meaningful, it seems to me it's at least 5 or 6 months out. And meanwhile, we need to continue our work, and the council will probably address the issue within that time frame. Bottom line, I don't think that the data that will come from any possible registry funnel requests is likely to be useful to the work of this specific group. It may be useful to a working group that is impaneled by the council later this fall.
This is Christina. I have a question. I had thought that in one of our previous calls, or maybe I read it somewhere, that someone had mentioned that one or more of the CCTLDs had prohibited tasting. Am I remembering this correctly?
Anominet in the UK.
Is it worth trying to reach out through the CCNSO to see to what extent, you know, there are CCTLDs that at one point permitted it but later prohibited it, and what data they may have? I mean, is that?
I would agree with that. I think that would be extremely important in this process.
I don't think there are many others, because I don't think many others allowed it to begin with.
Well, that's also helpful to know.
Yeah, actually, I would really like to know what is the situation in the country codes as to AGP, how many of them will allow it, or what different models they've employed.
This is Jeff. You might want to speak to the people at the German registry, because they do an initial and then monthly. So people, I know that I've heard, you know, that there's that's one of the ways that I don't think they've done it for tasting specifically, but people are able to check names for their value because they're able to do it, pay on a monthly basis for those names. So you might want to speak to people at .de about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly across many of the CCTLDs, the rules become quite organic and don't contrast as apple and apple comparisons to what's going on in the GTLD space, but there is...
Right.
Likely some really meaningful data points out there.
Yeah, I'm not sure how what the best way to approach the CCs is. Olaf, do you have any view on that, or Patrick?
Well, I would say that, of course, a couple of CCs have been mentioned, like Nominat and Dienick, and I would concur with that. They do have some experiences. And for the rest, well, we do have the CCNSO, and why not send the RFI for their distribution among their members? And perhaps, well, a little more narrow cast if we decide to do so, pinpointing what, if they have particular contributions to make in this regard, if they have experiences which may indeed be of interest for any economic analysis, given that, well, if they have experiences of what happens in various with various pricing models that they have, well, then you can start making some kind of economic analysis and calculate, well, elasticities and such. So I think it's worthwhile, and, well, it probably would be best to direct it straight to those we can identify to start with and ask them to support, give supportive information, as well as in a more general sense to the CCNSO for the membership.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Does anyone have suggestions other than Nominat and Dienick for specific that might have specific information?
Well, honestly, it's probably wisest to get some put that out there to the CCNSO, because I think within their own walls are going to be the opportunity for somebody to step up and say, I have something similar, I'm seeing this type of activity, I'd like to comment.
Yeah, I think we want to ask for comments and input, not necessarily say fill out this questionnaire, though, because I think that's not going to be a productive thing.
Nominat may have statistics on what's happened in that case since they implemented their domain tasting policy change, and Olaf and I can follow up with Nominat and Dienick.
All right, that would be great. And then I was just curious if anyone else in the group had any other specific CC registries that have adopted tasting policies or dealt with it in any way that might be useful to get info about.
Well, the challenge there is the business logic across, you know, 250-plus domains is all different.
Mm-hmm.
So the only real meaningful way to attract that, you know, obviously we've been able to illustrate a couple of cases, Dienick and Nominat, that might be able to provide some meaningful input. But I still stand by the fact that, you know, putting that out there to the CCNSO is probably the only meaningful way to obtain a few more. I don't know that this group necessarily could say...
Okay, no, I hear you, Jonathan. I mean, I would like us to do that. I think we all agree we would go through the CCNSO. I was just curious if anyone had any other specific ideas that we could reach out to specifically as well.
Well, I think the business logic for all this activity is identical within TV and CC, so it would again be approaching VeriSign. Affilius operates registry for a few CCTLDs with their GRS. And there's one or two other aggregator points that might have multiple TLDs that match closely the GTLD business rule.
I vaguely remember that someone mentioned Australia as either having a similar policy or having changed it, but I really don't know if I'm imagining it or it was real, but it should be easy enough to check.
Yeah, so it would probably be worthwhile to reach out to AUDA. Certainly.
Okay.
But the challenge you run into is if you just talk to the larger players in the CCTLD world, you may miss out on some real important, helpful information. Just as Patrick introduced that, you know, there's registries that may be working in parallel to address this, there might be some registries, although smaller, that have done something really effective that might be really important to the work we're doing here.
So if we do direct anything to the CCNSO, remembering that their chair is from AUDA, we might hope that he'll respond.
hope so. Okay. I guess I suggest we should start thinking about what the action items are for this week and planning on the agenda for next week rather than getting into specifics of the question. I think we'll leave that open for another few days at least. What do people think? Do people think it's reasonable to ask everyone on the list to have their comments on any of the questions by Friday? The reason I ask that is in the hopes that Olaf, Patrick, and staff can come back to us by our next call, ideally a day or so in advance of our next call, with a prettier draft of exactly how the questionnaire would look.
Well, my life is easier if you set the target as end of Sunday or something like that, but I'm willing to go with whatever the group says.
I think that would be okay, actually, assuming that staff probably wouldn't work on it over the weekend anyway, but that probably is a big assumption.
Well,
I'm grateful for your assumption, David Olaf.
Well, bearing in mind that there's quite a few staff that are probably traveling from the Hong Kong event.
Mm-hmm. Well, Olaf, can you tell us if that was realistic? If we cut off comments on the questions by, say, Sunday night Sunday night, could you turn it around in a day or day and a half?
Well, yes, at least for your final verdict on next Wednesday's call.
Okay. And that sounds like a plan.
Mike, may I ask a question? Sophia here.
Sure, of course, Sophia.
I'm just wondering, in order to expedite the responses that you would get from us by Friday, I suppose, if we agree on that, are we sticking to the question, or do we have like a framework where we can respond to a particular action item that you had expected us to respond to?
Well, essentially, I hope this answers the question. I think the draft RFI has been put out there now for only a couple of days.
Right.
Certainly the notion is to have adequate time for people to digest it, comment on it, suggest changes to it. I'm hopeful that, 1 week time is enough, that we all agree on that. If not, speak up. And the specific action item is to provide any comments or additional questions about this draft.
Okay, so we're sticking to the draft document.
And if I may add, Mike and Sophia, that please have a look at the introduction, which I've sent out as well,
yes.
a separate mail, and also, because that would, of course, be merged together. So any comments you might have how to improve that would be most welcome with the same mm-hmm. deadline.
Okay.
Yeah, what I'll do after the call, Olaf, is merge. I'll just simply cut and paste the draft questions with the change we've made suggested by Jeff earlier about asking for specific examples and stats. I'll just cut and paste that into your document on the intro, and I'll send it around to everybody asking for comments by end of Sunday.
I think that's probably what I was looking for, Mike. That's excellent. So we're not all over the place making comments. We can
right.
particular framework. That's good. Thanks.
Okay. And then, Olaf, you're committed then to putting out a prettier draft, I guess, that takes into account any comments received by Sunday.
Yeah,
some point on Monday.
Tuesday, my time, mm-hmm. which would, at least give you a full day
mm-hmm.
or 24 hours. 24 hours before next call, let's say,
right.
like that.
Sounds great. And then that'll give us all a chance to discuss it, obviously, on the next call. Hopefully it won't take up even the majority of the call.
Can I ask a mechanical question, please? To the extent that we have, after consulting with our constituencies, we have suggested wording changes to the questions, how would you prefer that we present those? In other words, a completely new document and track changes? What is going to work best for everyone?
from my perspective, track changes, please.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Hopefully everybody can use Word. all right. And then other topics for the next call. Still haven't heard back from Kurt about the Economist's availability, but that'd be ideal if we can get him on the phone and kick off that process.
Mike, yep. Just a quick note. Kurt's been out of the country. He'll be back early next week. So he's just been unavailable, and Olaf and I will check with him on the status of having the Economist consultant participate.
Great. Thanks, Patrick. No problem. We all know Kurt's obviously a busy guy. Hope we try and take some vacation this summer as well. Okay. Other topics for the call next week is, I guess, to continue the outreach to key sources. I think we've heard, Patrick, you said that you'll look at the registry data that we have. Is that right?
Can you repeat that again?
So, actually, I'm sorry, it was Jeff that I think volunteered to accumulate the registry data that's available, and then from there we can look at the tasting registrars, and I think the suggestion was to go through Tim Cole and his team to try to get some of those folks to specifically respond to the RFI. Just want to make sure we're all synced up on what the plan is to continue this work.
I think you'd also asked if it would be possible to get some community input. And getting the word out that there'll be a questionnaire or get the request
right.
for information.
Absolutely, and hopefully we'll have the RFI finished up by next week and can get it out by the end of next week. I know Olaf was going to talk with the ICANN outreach team about that, and obviously that the intent is to get it out there as broadly as possible.
I might have missed this at the beginning of the call. The VeriSign was supposed to be producing the detailed delete breakdown quarterly, which meant the first report should have come in at the end of March. I haven't seen it posted. Does anyone know the status?
Yeah, it has been posted.
You know,
it's not.
I thought it was, but it was, no?
Well, it's not in the monthly reports, and it shouldn't be, but I can't find a similar section for quarterly reports, so I don't know where to look.
Yeah, I may be confused then as well.
No, Alan, it was my understanding as well, and apparently that data is going to be provided. We should see it first in what comes out in August. You and I can talk offline. I had
okay.
the same misunderstanding. I had understood as well that what we would be seeing now is that specific breakdown, but it won't be until next quarter, I think.
All right. I'm not sure I understand that, but okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure I do either, because I think we already have numbers broken down by a registrar.
Right, but that's total delete.
Total
delete. That's not add grace deletes.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they're supposed to be producing those quarterly, and I assume then held for 1 month as they hold the monthly, or 3 months rather, as they held the monthly reports, which would have said they should have been released end of June.
Okay. But then have they been releasing that information quarterly in the past?
This is the first year.
Yeah.
This will be the first report with that information.
It should be possible to get something from staff to telling us what the status of that is without us having to guess.
Yep. I know Patrick Jones is going to talk with Patrick Kane already, so Patrick, if you could give us any light on that, that would be helpful. Okay. Unless anyone has anything else.
Is he still on the call? I didn't hear an answer to that.
Patrick,
yeah, I'm on the call.
Right. Thanks. Okay, I think we should end the call, and I will send out the draft doc. Leave that open through Sunday. We'll have a new draft next week. Continue this other discussion about key sources, and hopefully get the Economist on. Anybody else have any other topics, suggestions, comments?
This is Christina. Unless you all think it would be more effective to come from staff, I'm happy to reach out to the UDRP providers to find out what their average processing, like registrar freeze notification time is.
I'm happy to have you do that. I imagine the staff is too.
I'm very grateful for that.
Okay, why don't we do this? I will reach out, and if I'm hitting a brick wall, I will call upon the staff to break through it.
You know, as part of that research, can you also get statistics on how many stays have happened with, you know, by registrar?
What do you mean stays?
Well, there's something where in the UDRP process that, you know, if the two parties come to a friendly agreement that the UDRP, you know, somewhat evaporates, that that process stalls and completes and the two parties have figured out something on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a growing trend of friendly contact where it's not sort of an initial visceral, you know, UDRP or ACPA where, you know, many of the tasting registrars or the registrants have an open door to report where there is some sort of suggested trademark abuse or things like that to help alleviate the problem.
In other words, people just back down.
That's a simplification, but
wrong term.
In other words, the proceeding is terminated without a formal decision.
Exactly.
All right. To the extent that they can provide that to me, absolutely.
Okay.
But I'm not going to volunteer to compile the numbers myself at this point.
It would be really interesting also if they had numbers on, you know, per registrar numbers on, you know, how many UDRPs.
If that were the case, it'd probably help by year.
True.
Well, I'll ask. You know, if they have them, they have them. If they don't, they don't. And if they have them, then they won't give them to me, but maybe they'll give them to Olaf or Patrick. That's a different thing.
Christina, you may want to coordinate with Tim Cole on this.
Okay.
Tim, the staff, he's the UDRP provider contact.
Okay.
And he's in consultation with WIPO and NAS and the AD and DRC.
Okay. Well, I was actually thinking that I would, you know, one of the benefits of me doing it is that, you know, I finally did the IGO thing for WIPO, so, you know. All right.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much, and hopefully we'll have some more traffic on the list about the RFI. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Thanks,
Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.